5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Taking the conversation to the next generation. KGO 810.
I'm John Ruffman in for Drex right here on KGO. A lot of you wanted to comment on the last hour, but I wanted to move on. We've got so much tonight, and I want to ask you about Bitcoin. Anybody out there use Bitcoin? So here's the story. This is a digital currency. It's peer-to-peer and transactions, which take place between users directly without an intermediary. These transactions are verified by a network and recorded in a public distributed ledger called the blockchain. Now, it's very complicated, but since this idea was developed on the 31st of October 2008, perhaps appropriate that it was Halloween, Bitcoin has become a form of currency. So here's the story. The digital currency plunged Wednesday on the Hong Kong market after an exchange based in Hong Kong said it had been hacked and funds stolen. Okay, very simple. So what happens is that the exchange said it had halted trading, deposits were stopped, withdrawals were stopped, while they tried to determine which users had been affected. Now, here's the kicker. Because a lot of us invest in various things, time, energy, money. Bitcoin's trading value fell about 20% early today, or yesterday. But it recovered about half of the loss by the afternoon. I want to ask you about this question of hacking. I want to know if you've been hacked. I really do, and I'm going to explain why. I believe that this is a major vulnerability for us. If you bank online, have you ever been hacked? If you had a credit card at any company, you name it, I want to know about it. I'm going to tell you, my credit card number has changed 3 times this last year. Why? Because someone broke in at Home Depot, several other places where we shop, and they got all our information. So here's my question for you, and it's based on what happened to Bitcoin on the exchange. What happens when a major company is hacked? What happened when you were hacked? And let me ask you the most serious question of all. What happens when the U.S. government or the Democratic National Committee is hacked? You may not know this, but one of Barack Obama's former national security advisors, Tom Donilon, suggested today that if the FBI can successfully build the case that Russia is behind the hacking of Democratic National Committee emails, we should publicly confront Russia with the evidence. 8080810. We're talking hacking. We're talking about the fact that we're vulnerable. Whether it is Bitcoin, whether it is Home Depot, whether it is whatever you've encountered, and what happens when the federal government is hacked. Does it make you feel insecure? 8080810. I'm very interested in this because I think virtually every single person who is listening to the sound of my voice has been impacted by hacking. Wait a minute. How many of you have had your identity stolen? and then what you have to go through. Richard from Petaluma, welcome to KGO.
Hey, how are you? I was part of that Yahoo, 200 million people that got hacked.
Yep.
My Western Union account, I sent some money to a friend of mine in the Philippines, and next thing you know, I can't even get into my Yahoo account. I've had my identity stolen 4 times this year.
Okay, how do you feel about that? Does it make you less secure? Do you decide you're not going to put certain things online? How do you react to it?
First of all, I feel violated. And then after that, now to go through the gymnastics of protecting myself again, it's a nightmare. You call Yahoo and they say you got to call somebody else, and then you got to go through the gymnastics of going to your bank and not knowing how they even got into your account. That's the scary part. How did they get in?
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you, it's very interesting because I had a situation where I got an email, and I thought it was from Yahoo. And they asked me to confirm something, and I simply clicked something. And the next thing you know, my email was hacked. And you know what I learned? Takes something like that. I don't click anything anymore. I don't click anything because I know I might get hacked. But with a question like Bitcoin, can you imagine being a stock trader and having your account or what you're doing in terms of investment hacked? Can you imagine if they were really able to hack the New York Stock Exchange? What would happen to the American economy?
You know what really happened to me on a personal level is after this, I get a call yesterday from this guy saying I bought a IT package for them for $199. Mm-hmm. So now I'm a little more savvy. So I ran into a series of questions. You know, by the time he got to the last question, you know what he told me? F you.
Well, look, I appreciate your call. I appreciate your comment. And it is. A lot of it is telephone solicitation. So I will make a confession here on the air. I read Dear Abby. Okay? I've always enjoyed Dear Abby. So there was something in this morning's Chronicle. Dear Abby, I'm a newly retired woman living alone. Today I received a phone call on my landline asking me to participate in a survey. The first question asked me was, how many people are in my household? In the past, I didn't live alone, and I didn't mind participating in surveys. But calling on my landline made me worry that perhaps access to my physical address might be had. And being asked by some stranger for information like my age, the number of people in my household, and whether I have guns in the house, etc., makes me feel very uncomfortable. I told the caller I was not interested in participating and wouldn't give a reason why. There has got to be a better way to conduct surveys. Okay, I want to ask you. Do you answer questions? Do you click things when you shouldn't? Have you been hacked? And what does that mean to you? And I ask the question because, as we did in the last half hour, talking about Facebook, what kind of controls are there? How do you control what happens? The best example, the national campaign, was the case made today by former National Security Advisor Tom Donilon. He said, if the FBI can successfully build the case that Russia is behind the hacking of Democratic National Committee emails, we should confront Russia. 800-810. Do you feel threatened in terms of your privacy? I had to replace my credit card, or had my credit card was replaced 3 times. Do you know what I had to go through? To let everybody know where I have automatic billing? Why the credit card didn't go through? Tremendously time-consuming. So it's a simple question. A simple question for you. Do you believe that our privacy has been so compromised that we represent to ourselves a real problem? And I'm going to tell you, I do. I am very reluctant to do things online for that reason. No question. And what do you do about the Russians? So what if you confront them? Hey, I have a secret to tell you. We do the same thing they do. We hack. We know we do. That is cybersecurity. cybersecurity, whether you're dealing with Bitcoin, where the exchange is hacked, whether it is your credit card, which is hacked, whether it's a phone call you get, solicitation, you're hacked. You know, it's interesting, in the old days, here on the radio, I never knew what number was calling the station. Now I do. Your number flashes right up. 8080810. Let's go to Mark. You're on I-80. Mark, I know you're driving carefully. Fire away.
I'm hands-free, and thank you very much. I've kind of had some identity issues before. Same one at Home Depot, where my information was compromised. I've long wondered, you know, I understand marketing and things like that, but why do they need to hold on to your personal information, such as your bank numbers and card numbers? Maybe the name, address, and what you're buying, but why should a store maintain my credit card number?
You know, it's a very good question, and sometimes you're asked whether you want it erased, but they do, because computers store things that, you know, we have no idea. It's amazing. You know, I sometimes click on former emails. It's amazing what comes up in my account.
Yeah, you are right, you know, and when we are out here swiping our cards left and right, it does get recorded, and it's not only just at the store. There's the exchange from the server to the bank, and there's just little trails of your number everywhere.
You're right. You know, you used an expression when you swipe your card. Do you know what the word swipe means to me? Steal. That's a good...
That's, I knew you were going with that one.
Good. Let's not...
I also want to say... I do hear your show quite often. I enjoy listening to it. And you often, you know, give me things to think about. And I appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate the kind words, Mark. Warmest good wishes to you. Drive carefully. 8080810. That's the number right here on KGO. It's true. There is no place I would rather be than right here behind this microphone. But it's 7:45, and that means it's time for traffic.
Talk is cheap. Listening is priceless. The next generation of KGO 810.
8080810, the number right here on KGO. I am John Rothman. I am just reading an article by Richard Power, who's the editorial director of the Computer Security Institute, located right here in San Francisco. And this is what he says. You have the cyberspace mugger who's going to steal your personal identity and destroy your credit by committing fraud in your name, or stalk your children or your loved ones online. And he suggests that these are organized crime syndicates. And you know what? I think he's right. 8080810. I talk about this because the example of Bitcoin and what happened in Hong Kong is a lesson to us all about the vulnerability that we face because of cybersecurity. And we had a classic example of that, which interfered, let's be blunt, with our elections. The Democratic Party was hacked. And now we are told by the former National Security Advisor to President Obama, Tom Donilon, that if in fact it is true that we can prove that Russia is behind the hacking, we ought to publicly confront them. What good does it do? So we publicly confront them. Do you believe that it makes a difference? And do you feel threatened by all of this? I have to tell you, I do feel threatened by it. I do feel threatened, and it does worry me. But I realize, in a sense, as I'm sure you do, that there's very little we can do about it. 8080810. We only have a few more minutes, but I want to ask this question, and if we can answer it, that'd be great. Do you stop and think before you put something online? Do you stop and think before you post a comment? Are you worried that you might be hacked or that what you post might be used against you? Oh, wait, one more example. Donald Trump's wife. As you know, she was a model. she posed for some rather scantily clad photos. Guess what? You can go online and you can see them. They're posted. Are you careful about what you post? Are you concerned about hacking? Do you think we should confront Russia? Or do you think that if you did something that perhaps you wouldn't want the world to know, is it a good idea that you have it posted? Remember this series of leaked emails just before the start of last month's Democratic National Convention. Exposed, embarrassing messages sent by the DNC chairwoman to the DNC and by Chairwoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz and other staff members. And it caused an outcry. So I want you to know I'm very careful. I am extremely careful about what I post. And when I read this story about Bitcoin, boy, you bet your life I'm going to be more careful. And when I go and deal with a bank, I'm going to be even more careful because I know it can affect me. Do you believe that it affects you? Lisa just emails me and says, John, I am so careful about what I put online because things that I have posted before have come back to haunt me. Jack emails, John, my identity was stolen 2 years ago. I am still trying to sort through what I can do to correct the problem. Two examples, and many more of you who have examples of this kind of situation. You know, the most shocking thing to me was Secretary of State John Kerry, who announced several months ago that he was no longer going to use one of his email accounts because it got hacked. 8080810. This is something that goes to the heart of who we are. If I were a cyber terrorist, if I were going to commit that crime, trust me, if I had the sophistication, I hate to say it, but I think I could shut America down. What do you think? Particularly if you've been affected directly. I think this is a real issue. In fact, I think the presidential candidates ought to address what they're going to do to toughen up on that kind of security. It's vital to our national security. Well, we have a lot to talk about, of course, and we're going to move on because most of you agree with me. It's a problem. So let me tell you what I want to do for the next hour, and you can stack up the calls now. 8080810. I heard Nikki Medora report about the Zika virus. Two cases of Zika reported right here in California. More and more, there is concern about the Zika virus. The President of the United States made a statement today, which we're going to listen to. And then I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think Congress should act on the Zika virus? And I'm going to tell you something very interesting. Did you know the President of the United States has the power, under Article 2, Section 3 of the Constitution, to call a special session of the Congress during an adjournment so that Congress can be forced to act if there is a vital national concern? Barack Obama, as you will hear in a few minutes, when we come back from the news at the top of the hour, called the question of the Zika virus a real threat. And he called upon us to pressure Congress to approve funding requested by health officials to fight this mosquito-borne virus. We're going to talk about it because now it's home, ladies and gentlemen. It's right here in California. It affects every single one of us. And Congress isn't acting. And do you want to know why? Because the Republicans attached a rider to the appropriation dealing with Planned Parenthood. So we're going to talk about it on the power of a president and whether or not we can get people to work together. The Zika measure drafted by Republicans offered a provision that would block Planned Parenthood clinics in Puerto Rico from receiving money to fight the virus. 8080810. Two cases of Zika reported here in California. Birth defects. Maybe it'll grow. I want to know what you think. California public health officials reported today the first two cases. We'll talk about it when we come back. 8080810. I'm John Rothman in for Drex.